Good to see you today. Hey, would you bow your head in prayer with me? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace to us. Father, I pray today that we could see that you are a God who does above and beyond what we can ask or think. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would fill us with a sense of trust and faith and hope in you. And I pray all this in Jesus' good name. Amen. Amen. Well, today we are wrapping up our sermon series called The Riches of God. And many of you know that I love history, and I love reading about some of the great people and leaders in history. And I think one of the most interesting and fascinating people is Abraham Lincoln. That guy was just amazing with his wisdom, his tenacity, what he went through. And I recently read about some of his life and his story in a great book called Forged by Crisis. It's by Nancy Cohn, really cool book. And it talks about five different leaders in history and the challenges that they faced, but how they moved through those challenges. Really cool. And it talks about Abraham Lincoln, and specifically when he was in his second inauguration. So at this point, he was elected president for the second time. The Civil War was a month from being over. And so he got up and he gave his speech. And in his speech, he talked a lot about God. And that was kind of unusual for him, because although he was a man that knew the Bible and had read it, he was not really a spiritual man in that sense. He always kind of kept faith at a distance. But in this particular speech, the themes of faith and God were really, really evident and powerful. And historians note that. They say that there is a different tone about him. And what Nancy Cohn says is that she says it's because all the pain, all the difficulty, all the craziness and ugliness of the Civil War ultimately led him to a place where he realized it's all much bigger than him. And if he's going to make sense of it all, then he's got to go to God. And here's what she said about this. She has a great quote. She said, "All courageous leaders confront the limitations of their own agency. They then confront an important choice, whether to embrace the possibilities of decency and hope or those of baseness and despair." And so what she's saying is that all the great leaders that we think about and admire in history, they all come to a point where they realize, I can't control all this stuff in life. Have you come to that point yet? I can't control all these people. I can't control these events. I can't control what happens. And she says, as soon as you're confronted with that, you have to make a choice. And the choice is, do you allow the uncontrollable and challenging nature of life to put you into despair, to lead you into despair? Or do you strive to experience it and understand it and find hope through a different way? And what she says is that the great leaders, they went the hope route. And Abraham Lincoln, he found hope in God. And what I love about that illustration is that I don't think this is just something that great leaders face. I think this is something each and every one of us face. That we all will face the limitations of life, the limitations of what we can do, what we can figure out, what we control. And in those moments, we can get overwhelmed, we can get lost in it, or what I want to talk about today is we can go to God and experience his fullness and his help. And I want to talk to you about that today, and I want to talk to you about the idea of prayer as a way to help us in these challenging and difficult and overwhelming times. And we're going to look at a prayer that's in the New Testament, and it's a prayer that in some ways is a model for us, and it models how to experience the fullness of God's strength and generosity and goodness. Now, here's what I find fascinating about prayer. I read a lot of like sociology studies and that talk about religious belief in America. And in almost all these sociological studies, they talk about the issue of prayer. And they ask people who are religious and people who are irreligious, people who are church-going and people who are not church-going. They say, do you pray? And you know what? Everybody prays. Isn't that crazy? That no matter what, people are like, I don't believe in God, but I pray. You're like, how does that work out? Well, let's not ask any more questions. All right. And we all pray. It's such a deep part, a deep impulse and drive in us. Now, I believe 100% that's because we are made in the image of God, and your soul wants to connect with God, whether your mind does or your heart does. Your soul wants to, and we're driven towards prayer. But today, I want to talk about a very specific kind of prayer that I think changes our experience of life. So we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to start at verse 14. Here's what it says. And this is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. So he says, for this reason, I'm going into prayer. Now, believe it or not, in the ancient world, you would usually pray standing up and looking up. So that was the normal posture of prayer. People did kneel, but it was way more occasional, and it was showing a intensity, which is still kind of true today. It shows a humility and a dependency, but it was even more so. So Paul says, I'm praying for you, but I'm not casually praying for you. This isn't one of those rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub style prayers. This is a prayer that has some heart, some intensity, some intention behind it. That's he said, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory. Now that's the phrase that we've been looking at for the last several weeks, these different riches of God. And this one's now the riches of his glory, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now this word dwell is not just visit. Like some of us, we're going to go through Thanksgiving and we're going to visit a relative's house. And at some point, they're going to really want you to leave. Or you're going to really want them to leave because you're like, you're just visiting. And we all got that uncle that never does, you know? But Paul says, Christ, I want you to be strengthened, not so he can just occasionally come into your life for a set period of time, but so that he may live there permanently. That's the word there. That he might dwell in your hearts through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. See, notice where this prayer ends. It ends with this idea of the fullness of God. Paul's saying, I'm praying in this way so that you can experience the fullness of God. This is a prayer that leads to fullness. And then he ends and he says, now him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think. Think about how I'm a pretty good asker. How about you? I'm a pretty good dreamer, you know? Think, oh, if I won the lottery, here's what I would do. I mean, I can get really elaborate and detailed with it. But as good as you are at asking and dreaming, God is even better at giving. How powerful is that? He says, now, to him who's able to do abundantly, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is a powerful set of verses here, and a powerful prayer that Paul is showing us. And so today, I want us to learn from this model of prayer. Now, Paul says, for this reason, everything he was writing before, he says, for this reason, I bow my knee before the Father. And I just want to remind you, life gives us many reasons to pray, doesn't it? Life gives us an abundance of reasons to pray, and all those reasons we should take. When it's hard, we should pray. When it's good, we should pray. When it's confusing, we should pray. When it's overwhelming, we should pray. Life gives us an abundance of opportunities to pray, and we should take it. But here's what I want to challenge us today, is that many times, prayer is something that is spontaneous and kind of spur of the moment in our lives. See, when we go back to those surveys, and people say, I do pray, but a lot of times people, they're praying kind of randomly and spontaneously. A lot of us were praying Thursday night, asking God to give the Browns victory. And he heard your prayers, I want you to know, amazingly. But that was a spontaneous prayer. It was unplanned. And a lot of life is prayer is reactionary. But I want to encourage you, because I don't think Paul's prayer here is spontaneous. Paul had some thought behind this prayer. What Paul is praying for is not just sort of these ideas that just pop into his mind, but these are things he's been thinking about. He's been meditating on. And I want to encourage you to think about praying in an intentional and a planned way for this last four. There's about 40 days left in this year. Is that crazy to anybody? Where did it go? There are about 40 days. And I want you to think about today, what would it look like to pray in a more intentional, in a way that you make prayer a priority in your life? Like hopefully, when you woke up today, one of the first things you did was brush your teeth. And the person next to you thanks you for that, if you did that. If you didn't do that, go ahead and repent and find a breath mint. But you do that every day, whether you feel like it or not, right? Because you're like, this is healthy and it's good. Some days you may feel like it, some days you may not, but you do it anyway. And I want you to consider approaching prayer that way. To just say, you know what, every day for these next 40 days, I'm going to pray. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick one pressing thing in your life. And I want you to pray in the way Paul is going to show us today. I want you to just bring that to God. And whatever that thing is, write it down somewhere. And say, Lord, these next till the end of this year, I'm praying intentionally about this issue. And I'm looking to you, and I'm hoping in you, and I'm trusting you, and I'm turning to you. And make that commitment and see what God does. Now, Paul says, let me show you how to pray. First, he shows us that prayer that leads us towards fullness, it acknowledges God as the source and the center. He goes into this idea about every family is named from God. And what that shows us is that first, that God is the source of every good thing. And I think this family image is really, really powerful, because family is meant to be the initial place where God brings some of the richest blessings into our life. It's meant to be that, but we have a good way of messing it up. Amen? And family is God's idea. He created it. And so much of our dysfunction in life is the result of family wounds or missing family blessings. It's us searching for that security, that love, that place to belong. And originally God's meant to bring that through family, but it's not the only way he can bring it, because we mess it up. And at the end of the day, all the blessing that we're looking for ultimately has its beginning point in God. Our family, we love the movie Elf, you know, and we're in Elf season right now. We just crossed out of Harry Potter season. Now we're in Elf season. We like to watch all these different movies. And you know, Elf, the whole movie is Buddy the Elf searching for who? His dad. because he longs for his father's love. Hey, buddy, I hope you find your dad. Remember that guy? And the whole movie is about that quest for love. And truly, so much of our lives can be kind of about finding that original blessing. Paul says it's all in God. He's the source of it. He says he's the one from whom every family gets its name. And I just want to remind you, church, when our family, for those who are married, for parents, when our family gets in an unhealthy spot, you know what the best thing you can do is pray together. Married people, when marriage gets in a tough spot, the best thing we can do is recenter together on God. Just take your spouse's hand, no matter how angry or annoyed you are with them, and say, we are going to ask God for help. And pray. When our families are in a difficult spot, the way back is to recenter on God, is to put God at the center and to ask for his help. So many nights of the week, we, you know, get dinner going, and Allie and I, we're coming from work, we're rushing around, we're trying to get the kids fed so we can get them to bed, you know, so we can have a couple minutes of peace and calm, and you know how that goes, and maybe not, all right, and so we're kind of like, you know, just going through it, and so many times we'll get them food, we'll start eating, and Emery will say, wait, mom and dad, we didn't pray. And every time she says that, I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry your parents are pagans. You're right. And then we'll just kind of take a moment and pray. And you know, it's amazing because whether you're in charge or not, if your kid asks you to pray, no parent's going to turn them down. Because the amount of guilt and shame that you feel isn't, you know, you're like, no, okay, let's do it. here's, when you, no matter whether you're the adult or a kid, when you ask your family to pray, they will respond. And you know what? And you will be inviting God's help. And so I want to encourage you, if you're in a tough spot, do that. Go to God, seek his help, and pray. And then Paul says, according to the riches of his glory. Here's what I love about that. Paul says, God, I'm asking you things, but I'm asking according to your riches. The riches of your glory. Here's what I love about that. He's appealing to the greatness and the wealth of God, not the poverty of his own situation. See, a lot of ways we pray sometimes is we appeal to what we don't have. You ever pray like this? Lord, I am so scared right now. Lord, I am so overwhelmed right now. Lord, I don't have the right words. I don't have what I need. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have... So often when we pray, we appeal to our poverty. And that's okay to do that. You can do that. But Paul shows us something actually even better. He appeals to God's greatness and wealth. He says, God, you are rich. Lord, you got so much. You can meet all our needs from the interest. You don't even have to touch the principal of what you have. Bitcoin's got nothing on you, Lord. You're so rich. He appeals to the riches of God. And I think that one of the ways that we pray differently is when we move beyond our circumstances as the center of our prayer, and we move to the greatness of God. Whatever you're struggling through, when you pray, say, Lord, you have more than enough. I'm not talking to someone who isn't powerful and capable and generous and good. I am talking of the one who was and is to come. And I'm asking from your abundance, would you help me? Believe it or not, you honor God when you pray like that. You honor God when you trust him for his promises, for his character as we see it in Scripture, for all of that. And Paul appeals to that. And then, notice this, and then he says, Lord, and I pray that you would strengthen their inner man. Now, this is a really interesting prayer. It's what I call the prayer for grit. It's the prayer that, see, we want God to change everything around us, and God will do that, but more importantly, God wants to change the inner you. He wants to transform your soul. God's not just interested in making our circumstances easier, but making our soul more. And this is what Paul's praying for. I pray you would strengthen your inner man so Christ may dwell. Now, we may not love this prayer, but this is such an important prayer. He's saying, I pray you would strengthen the foundation of your soul. My daughters, they only weigh like 30 pounds, maybe 35 pounds. But when they're upstairs running around, I'm like, is this house going to hold? Like, how can you be like 30 pounds and sound like you're going to come through the floor? It's amazing to me. You can't open an applesauce container, you know, those little ones, but you can pretty much come through the second floor. How's that work? It's a mystery to me. And many times we're running around, and I just think, you know, I'll be like, man, you know, we've probably got some decades in this house. I hope that it holds up. I hope that it's strong enough for them. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, look, Christ wants to dwell in your hearts. He wants to fulfill his work and his purpose in you and through you. And for that to happen, the foundation of our souls needs strengthened. We cannot fulfill the purposes of God in our life without grit, without strengthening, without just sticking to it, even when it's difficult. There's a great book all about this called Grit by Angela Duckworth. And if you've never read it and it's interesting to you, it's a really, really good read. But she talks about grit in two ways. She says that it's determination and direction combined. Determination and direction. Or she uses these words, it's passion and perseverance. Passion and perseverance. But both ideas, those ideas are the same thing, same idea. It's that I know the direction that I want to go, and I'm not going to be easily swayed from it. This direction matters to me. It's important. It's the right direction for my life, and I'm going to fully commit to it and not get deterred. And that's kind of a sense of grit. And Paul's saying, I pray that your soul would grow in grit. See, in this season of our life, God's trying to grow that in some of us. It's not always a fun journey, but it is a good journey. It's not an easy journey, but it's a worthwhile journey. And prayer keeps us centered on that. And I want you just to see in these verses that actually the challenge is what allows us to experience God's love in deeper ways. If we always choose the easy way in life, we will also miss a deeper experience of God's love. See, all this then, Paul says, and I'm praying that you'd be strengthened so Christ may dwell, and so that you would know the love of Christ in a bigger, deeper, broader, higher way. He's saying, I pray that you would know the love of Christ in a way that shatters your previous categories. See, Paul's looking at us, he's saying, do you know Christ loves you? We're like, yeah, I know he loves you. I know he loves me. Paul's like, no. Do you know how much he loves you? We're like, yeah, I think he loves me a lot. Some days, maybe I'm not so sure. But today, I think he does. And Paul's like, no, I want to show you. There is a whole depth and height and length and width of his love that is, it's so much bigger than the category in your mind. Paul says, I'm praying all this so ultimately you would experience this incredible shattering of your categories of God's love. I've always liked the writings of Henry Nouwen, and he's one of these interesting guys that is almost like a doctor of the soul. Like he just understands, God, I believe, just gave him a real giftedness to understand just how our souls function, you know, in kind of deep and profound ways. And Henry Nouwen wrote a lot of books, but this one of my favorites. It's called The Inner Voice of Love. And it's actually journal entries of his from the late 80s. And at this point in his life, he had kind of arrived in his dream role. Like everything in his life had kind of brought him to this role, this ministry that he was in. And he was like, man, this is the right fit for me. This is what I'm meant to be doing. And it was all right. But he had a relationship in his life that was deeply important to him get messed up. It got broken. And so although everything in his life was going great, he was absolutely devastated because of this broken and hurting relationship. And isn't that true in life? Like you can have everything going right, but if you have a relationship that matters to you that isn't right, it kind of cancels out everything else. Because we're relational beings, right? That's how God created us. These things weigh heavy. And so he was in that place and he was lost in the pain, in the hurt of all of it. And so he turned towards God, and his journal kind of shows that journey. But the thing that ultimately set him free was a deeper experience of God's love. Now, this dude's a spiritual giant. Like, he is a spiritual genius and so rich in all these kind of ways. But even him, he said, but I knew God loved me, but I needed to really know it in a deeper way. And church, that's true for all of us. And the great blessing of this prayer, of praying like this, is getting to the point where you know it and you experience it in a way you never had. Here's one of the things that Nouwen wrote. He said this. He said, you have to trust the place that is solid. Here's a solid place in your life. Keep saying, God loves me, and God's love is enough. Whisper that in your heart right now. God loves me, and God's love is enough. You know what you're going through, what you're fighting against, what's breaking you, what's hurting you, that's all real. But this is an even more solid place right here. God loves you. His love is enough. I want you to know that. More than you've ever known that before. Deeper than you've ever known that before. Higher than you've ever known that before. Broader than you've ever known that before. You have to choose that solid place over and over again and return to it after every failure. Prayer helps us to do that. Prayer guides us to that place. And church, we need to go to that place again and again and again. And here's what Paul says. When we pray, when we go to that place, here's what we experience of God. He's able to do above what we can ask or imagine. God will always exceed your expectations. He really will. Look, even the best relationships in our life will fall short of our expectations. Even the healthiest ones, church, they will fall short of our expectations. But here's what Paul is showing us. God will always exceed your expectations. You will experience a fullness in him that is greater than any emptiness in this world. And prayer leads us to get there. My daughter's got some magazine, I think it was from school, and it has a bunch of, it's like a toy catalog. I know they still had those. I remember having those when I was a kid, and so they got it, and you know, when I was a kid, it was like, hey, circle what you want. You'll never see that, but it's a fun exercise. And I enjoyed it as a kid. So I told him kind of the same thing with the same intentions. You'll never see any of these things, but it's a fun exercise. And so they got real excited about it. And at first, you know, they were kind of picking, I want this and I want that. And then by the end of it, the whole magazine was circled. There were lawn care items in it. They said, Dad, we're getting that for you. I was like, thanks. Good to think beyond yourself here a little bit, kids. But they were asking for it all. We're good at asking, aren't we? We got a great, great ability. But again, just hear the words of Paul. As much as you ask, God is better at giving. As much as you can bring, as bold, as big, as great, as challenging as your prayers are, God is even better at meeting them beyond what you ask or think. Church, we have a great God. Words cannot do justice to the greatness of who he is. But I believe that we can experience it in prayer. What's on your heart today? What are you facing? What is weighing you down? What is bringing you to the end of your limitations? Bring that in prayer every day. Pray, trust, seek, and you will experience a God that's bigger than you know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the richness of your glory. Thank you, Lord, that there is such an abundance in you that all the things we're facing today are small compared to the majesty and greatness of who you are. Father, I pray you could just meet us in our pain today. I pray you could meet us in our fear today. I pray you could meet us in our longing. I pray, Lord, you could meet us in our joy, in our gratitude. And Father, I pray that we could be strengthened in our inner man, in our inner woman. I pray that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. I pray, Lord, you would shatter our sense of your love and you would create a new standard, a new way of understanding. And Lord, I pray it would draw us into worship. It would draw us into awe. It would draw us into trust. Work through us, Lord. Bless us. Help us. In Jesus' good name we pray. Amen.